Hello and welcome to the Aviation Leaders podcast, brought to you by Airline Economics and KPMG. I'm your host, Victoria Tozer Pennington, and we're thrilled to bring you a fascinating conversation today with Anne Bart Thielmann, who's the Chief Executive of TrueNord, a leading regional aircraft lessor. TrueNord has recently marked a significant milestone, acquiring its 100th aircraft, a testament to the company's robust growth and strategic vision. In the aftermath of the pandemic, TrueNord has demonstrated remarkable resilience, navigating challenges with agility and capitalising on opportunities in today's buoyant aviation market. Anne Bart joins us to share his insights into that journey, the regional leasing landscape, and what's next for TrueNord. Stay tuned for an inspiring and informative discussion.
We just closed our 100th aircraft. When was it? Yesterday. Yeah, that's nice, because clearly that was what we were kind of aiming to reach, or it was one of the milestones that we had in mind when we started the business in 2016. We had several milestones, 50, 100, 250, and so here we are. We reached 100.
You said 250 milestone there. When is that coming?
Yeah, that's the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, you should be careful in making promises.
Yeah.
Really lost, I think you could say, almost 2 years in growth because of COVID. No, actually, we did buy several aircraft during COVID. We're able to kind of do that. Only in the last 12 to 18 months, we've seen lessor to lessor market trading again picking up. And I think, for us, the last 12, 24 months were really spurred in. I think we have done almost 40 aircraft over the last period. So that's great. And with that, we also have been able to grow the team further. So we have now 38 people in Amsterdam, Dublin, Singapore. We have a couple of people working from home, so to say, in the UK. Yeah, we're quite happy with that. Clearly, that smells to for more. Or how do you say that? So we're looking at several transactions, several portfolios. Also new deals, sale lease back of new aircraft. Yeah, keep on growing.
Can you just give me a picture of what it's been like for the regional niche? Because I think we've just done more broad brush.
Yeah, I think, but overall, the airline industry is growing. There is more demand for capacity. And you see that, although it's a little bit different in the regional, for the OEMs active in the regional market. And right now, actually, we have only two. It's ATR producing turboprops and Embraer building regional jets. Of course, you can say Airbus with the A220. Let's call that small narrow body. It still fits in my, or in our definition, 50 to 150 seat. In all these aircraft, there is a high demand, but a low supply chain or a low production rate. And because of the supply chain issues, basically all manufacturers would like to produce more, but are just not able to produce more. And of course, in the one market, it might be not the geared turbofan. Clearly, that's not the case with ATR, but also ATR has issues with their supply chain and can ultimately, just produce what they produce at the moment. And that is just not enough, or that is less than what we see is needed, let's call it, in the market. And that, of course, has an effect on aircraft parked. So you could say for lessors, of course, that's a nice environment, because basically, instead of buying new aircraft, airlines are happy to take secondhand aircraft. Funny enough, since COVID, especially in Europe, in the US it was already maybe different, but in Europe you often had the major airlines only wanting to have new aircraft. If they took new aircraft in their fleet, it should be factory new aircraft. That's no longer the case. They actually grow their fleet and are happy to take secondhand aircraft. Yeah. It always sounds as if you sell secondhand cars, but luckily, with aircraft, actually, a second aircraft is tip top technically. So that, I think we see that as well in our regional sector. In Europe right now, there is a lot of demand for regional jets. So for the 100 to 130, 135 seat capacity aircraft, so the Embraer E1s, the 190s, 195s are basically in high demand. in the US, it is basically the aircraft that fit scope clause that are in high demand. And you see that also the amount of Embraer 170, 175s on order. That's also what we see happening in Europe. I think European airlines are really getting smart in this. Now, in the US, it's different, but there clearly economy is growing, has been growing over the last 2 years. More seats are needed. There, of course, you see the Breeze and the JetBlues starting to take new deliveries. So the A220s are getting there now, feet on the ground, and the E2s. Another interesting example is Porter in Canada, that actually used COVID to develop a complete new business plan. And instead of only flying the Q400s from Billy Bishop, they now are covering complete of Canada and also fly from Toronto and or the Canadian cities deep south into the US. And they can do that with the E2195. So there you see these new products, the A220, but also the E2s, offer new capabilities that airlines now start to use. Widerøe in Norway flying with E2s, offering now, I think, charter or maybe even line connections with south of Europe. That was not possible before. That's now possible because of the capabilities of these new aircraft. So that's another shift we see that's interesting for lessors and for airlines.
With all this demand, and obviously you made a good case for the flexibility and everything's actually, it's making them more money. Is it, what's happening with lease rates? And also another question is really asking about lease rate extensions, about what you've seen there and if that's continuing.
Yeah. I think the good news is there that we get back to normal lease rate levels. Now you might ask, what do you mean with that?
Yeah, what's normal?
Well, guess what? I think, and most of lessors will have that, during COVID, there was a lot of support, but also self-help within the industry. Airlines asking for diverted lease rates, or at least lowering lease rates and to pay later part, or where you had to have, if leases ended during COVID, as lessor, you of course were happy if you could keep your aircraft in the air, so to say. But yeah, you had to accept lower lease rates, but that was exceptional. Yeah? So during that period, lessors must have agreed with airlines exceptional lease rates, which was good for the airline because that could actually help them saving cash, helping them surviving that period. And for lessors, okay, it was less cash for a costly asset, but at least the asset was flying and cash flow kept on going. Now, as we all know, COVID has passed, and most of these leases that were agreed in the period, or those changes of leases in the COVID period, are now also getting to an end. Of course, then most of the airlines have shorter memories and say, that's the lease rate. I said, no, guys, actually, that was an exceptional lease rate. Yeah. We really need to go back now. I mean, your shareholders want to see that you make money, but guess what? We also have shareholders, the lessor community. We need to go back to normal lease rates. And I think the supply and demand situation is helping that.
Yeah.
So we are getting back to normal lease rate factors.
Do you think with the commercial banks, do you think that's helped? Because a lot of them have that ESG kind of balance sheet credit committees. Yeah. Do you think it helps being in the regional jet market?
Okay, that's a good one. So ESG has three letters.
Yes.
And a lot of people actually focus just on the E.
The E, yeah.
Now, of course, funny enough, turboprops are the most cleanest aircraft you have. The turboprop engine is cleaner than a jet engine. So that is just a fact. We see that banking industry is getting around this topic. Now, I said three letters. There is, of course, something that regional aviation in general does, and that is actually connecting economic spheres or communities that normally are actually, cannot connect with bigger aircraft. So there are a lot of what we call in Europe these PSO routes, public service routes. It is that part of ESG, so we call it the S part, bring communities together, or just like in Indonesia, where islands are connected by aviation, by airline connection, by airline airlines flying from island to island, which otherwise would you have to do by boat. And we see that slowly people start to realize that these regional aircraft are not always, or most of the time not actually, used for just holiday flights.
Yeah.
Actually, those aircraft service a public need, flying people from A to B, or to an hospital, or for educational purposes, or just developing business, economic development. It's not that we therefore get cheaper financing yet. So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But and maybe we should. But that's maybe something we have on the agenda for the coming years.
Have you done any sustainability-linked financing? I don't think I've seen your name.
Yeah, no, there has a couple of years ago a specific financing on ATR fleet, turboprop fleet.
Right.
That was then earmarked as a green financing.
So just to wrap up the conversation, what's your outlook for the next year?
Yeah, no, I think so. We have done, as I said, a lot of second-hand portfolio trades.
Yeah.
So we got in a lot of, say, mid-life aircraft. Great, nothing wrong with that. But I think we might also look, and there are still actually quite some trades to be done.
Yeah.
So there is a good outlook, so to say, for next year, where we will for sure do more portfolio trades with other lessors. I think we will also try to become, again, more active in the sale-lease-back market of new assets, of new aircraft. And also there we see opportunities. So that, in that sense, we really look forward to next year. We think there is a lot of growth potential. We're ready to take that growth. We have the shareholders joining or sharing or supporting us for that. We have our debt funding available for that. We have a big warehouse where we have still plenty of room to make use of. Likely we'll refinance something next year, but that would create even more liquidity room for further growth. So now I think we really look, we have a positive outlook for next year. Exciting year.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Aviation Leaders Podcast. A special thanks to Anne Bart-Thielmann for sharing his insights and celebrating TrueNord's impressive milestone with us. For more interviews and updates on the leaders shaping our industry, be sure to follow our Aviation Leaders Podcast on your favourite platform. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.